Well, here we are, church. How you doing today? You glad you're here? Come on, let's give God a big hand. And all those parents, let's give them a bigger hand. Come on. And all the grandparents out there and family members that are here today, we're so grateful that you're here today. And we're in a series entitled, What's the Point? And today it's about what's the point of parenting. And I know there's some people in the room, you're thinking like, hey, I'm not a parent, but how many of y'all know a kid somewhere? Okay, come on, you know a kid somewhere. Okay, so then what's the point? We're going to learn a little bit. How many of y'all have grandkids? Grandkids, come on, how many of y'all know that's the best kids right there? Come on, somebody. And so you got grandkids, or how many of y'all just care about kids at all? How many of y'all care about kids? Okay, well, there's something we all can grab a hold of here today. And I believe that our best days are yet ahead of us because we have a great generation coming up. And I believe that we serve a God of generations. Before I get rolling with what's the point, I wanted to show you this picture of a super cool family. That's our family right there. Natalie and I, 5 kids. 4 are married right now. We have 3 grandkids, and we have 9 on the way. They're not all pregnant yet. I'm just prophesying into the future. I'm just telling you. Like, my wife's like, what? Yeah. I just figure if you're going to believe God, let's believe God big. Come on, somebody. Come on. How many of y'all with me right there? Come on, going to be 9 more. Hallelujah. And we're going to have fun together and all those good things. So that was that. Our daughter there, she just exchanged wedding vows earlier that day. And so that was our picture there. One son isn't in the picture. He's from, he lives in L.A., and so he can't get back a lot. But that's our picture there. And so excited. Now, listen, if you're wanting a message on parenting, how many parents out there? Where's my parents? Anybody got, okay, listen. If you want a message on just do this, and everything will be perfect. If you want a formula or you want a guarantee, you came to the wrong place. You got the wrong guy. How many of y'all have ever raised kids? Come on, there is no formula. There is no guarantee. Come on, and there isn't. But I just want to be real with you. I want to share some things I believe can be helpful to you. I believe that will help you and your family, and I believe will help us as a church as well. And I don't know if you know this or not, but our culture is pretty messed up. Do you live in the same world I live in right now? I mean, it's breaking my heart. Teens in junior high and senior high, there's more anxiety and depression and confusion, and they're being exposed to all the kind of crazy things. And it breaks my heart. And I believe it's not just up to parents to do better or kids to do better. I believe it's up to Jesus' church to do better. Amen. And I believe we have been given an assignment from God. And that's what I want to do here. Now, I know there's some people in the room here. You're thinking about parenting. And I just want to speak to your heart for a moment. And you're thinking like, hey, you weren't parented real well. And you weren't parented maybe the way you should have been. Or maybe some things weren't in your life as a child. And as we were praying, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a group of people that get together early on Sunday morning, and they were praying for you, and I was with them this morning. And the picture that we got was, we need to take the rear view mirror and throw it out the window, because we can't live life with the rear view mirror. We got to look forward to what God is doing. And I can't go back and change your past, but I believe we can change the future. Amen. Are you with me? I really believe that with all my heart. I believe the future can change. I can't change your past. Now, raising 5 kids, we had 5 teens in the house at one time, and we lived to talk about it. But more impressive, they lived to talk about it too. Come on. And so there was a couple of strained moments there, but those were the best years. Natalie and I, we just had this thing that our kids growing up, even when they started getting out of high school, we let them blame us for everything until they were 21 years old. I said, you can blame mom and dad for everything. You can blame us for, you had to eat your vegetables and you had to be home on time, and boy, you were such victims and all this stuff, you know. But you can blame us for everything, but at 21 years old, you got to own it. Because victims never live victorious. You can't be a victim and go through life. You got to become victorious in some way. You got to move on. So we let them blame us till 21. At 21, it was like, hallelujah. You're doing it now. You're ready to go. But there's parents in the room right now. Maybe you have adult children like, you know, Natalie and I, maybe they're not serving God all the way that they should be. Let me just put this perspective for you. I want you to go back to early in the Bible. There's this couple, Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve, right? Gave them everything they could imagine. He set them up for the future, man. I mean, they didn't have to work. They were provided for. They were protected. They had everything they could ever need in their life. And I want you to think about this. When they got tempted that God's a bully, and they got tempted that God doesn't really love them and care about them, they rebelled against God. And you can do everything you're right as a parent. You can set your kids up. We can do everything right as a church. But at some point, kids have to make a decision about what they're going to do in their life. Okay? And you may be here, and maybe you're struggling because maybe you have a child that's maybe not doing as well as you want. Well, I want you just to remember, God, our Father in heaven, is there a better perfect parent than that? He had two kids rebel. He had two kids rebel, and he didn't rescue them. He allowed them to pay the consequences of their sin. I want you to catch this, because we serve a loving God, but a just God. He's not a God that's fair. He's a God that's just. And if you're looking for a fair God, you got the wrong one, but he's a just God. He's justice and truth are the foundation of his throne. And that's what we need to pass on to a next generation. Are you with me now? How many of y'all, that was helpful right there? That was helpful to you in your heart. Yeah, come on. Now, I don't know about you, but as a parent, we having young kids, it was a little bit ago, and you're driving around. Do you ever see those stickers on the back of like minivans or SUVs? My kid's an honor student. Doesn't that irritate you? I mean, my kid's an honor student. I mean, and then like you see all the stick figure kids, and they're all perfect at sports. My kid's a soccer player and cheerleader and all these things. And I'm just going to tell you, every time I saw one of those stick people and I saw my kids on our side, I wanted to hit that car. I never did, but I wanted to. Yeah. And I used to think, yeah, your kid's an honor student. I don't know how old they are, but I bet you my daughters could take them. That's kind of stuff I think sometimes, okay? I'm not real proud of it. I'm trying to get free here. Come on, somebody. Okay, now let me launch with an idea. I want to give you some concepts here. In Matthew 7, there's a story Jesus told here. These are red letters. Red letters are Jesus' words. So Jesus' words are really a big deal. How many of y'all believe that? Come on. So here we go. Everyone then who hears these words, say, here's these words. Okay, of mine, and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Let's go to the next one here. And everyone, how many people? Oh, yeah. Who hears these words, say, here's these words of mine, and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So here's the deal. Everybody gets rain. Everybody gets storms, okay? And you look at the two houses, and they look the same on the outside, but the difference is the foundation. The difference is in the foundation. You don't see the difference, but the difference is what's inside of them, not the siding on the outside. It's not the siding. It's not the gutters. It's the foundation. And so Jesus says there's two different foundations, and there's a war in our culture right now, hearing the words of Jesus and doing them, because that's faith. You hear, you believe, you obey, you have faith. And we're a faith-based organization. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's what churches do. Just a thought. This is really deep. Come on, somebody. And there's a war in our culture. So there's two different types of wars in our culture right now. There's storms of life. How many of y'all know there's storms of life? How many know everybody gets storms of life? Everybody's faith challenged, am I right? And then there's a challenge of our culture. Will we think more like our culture, or will we think more biblically? Bible has a foundation that weathers the storms. If you do not have that, you're on sand and you will not weather the storm. Okay, so I want you to think about this in the sense of parenting here. We have to decide, are we going to have a biblical perspective on life and parenting, or are we going to have a cultural or United States of America view on parenting? See, that's the difference. I want to start off with this difference right here, because we have to catch that difference if we're going to have a biblical view here. Okay, so here we go. This is the big idea. I like big ideas. My wife, she says every time I say big idea, I get real excited. She says every time you say big idea, it's like, hey, we have a big idea. I mean, if you're going to have a big idea, I think you should be excited, right? If you have a little idea, say, hey, I have a thought, you know? So, and we have a big idea. So here's the big idea, here. The point of family is to create resilient adults. I want you to think about this. I just want to oversimplify it. Resiliency. Resiliency is something that we all long for, but few of us ever achieve. Resiliency is this. It's the capacity to withstand or to recover quickly from difficulties. Two storms, right? Storms, foundation, okay? And the ability to adapt well in the face of adversity, trauma, and significant stress. How many of y'all know that life has adversity, trauma, and significant stress? It's not even 11 o'clock, and we're all agreeing on that one. Come on. That's just today. Okay, so that's what life has. And then we have the ability to recover quickly from difficulties or thoughts. So I'm giving you a thought here. Rather, there's so many things I could say about parenting. I want to say that the goal is that we have resilient adults. Not resilient kids, but resilient adults. And so if that is our goal, to have resilient adults that can stand up with life's culture challenges in storms of life, then I think if that's our end goal, then we should do everything to hit that end goal. Are you tracking me here? So resiliency is the goal because stuff going to happen. So now we're going to go to the weight of culture and the weight of life. Okay, now we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, as Pastor Ben said, and I thought he was going to preach this morning. I thought he was excited, and I thought, man, he's... And so we're going to look at something. In the Jewish culture, they would recite this prayer two times a day. What I'm about to give you, two times a day, the Shema. And this means to hear. Remember, hear these words and do them. This is to hear. So we got to be listening. We got to be hearing. How many of y'all hear sometimes, but you don't hear? How many of y'all are married? Come on, somebody. Yeah. Right? Come on. So we got to hear. So Shema means to hear. So if we're going to raise up, so this is a prayer recited here. Here we go. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. There it is. So if we want to raise up a generation, we should love God with all our might, soul, strength, everything we got within us, right? Now, there's a verse not on there. Just let me read this verse to you here. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart. Jesus repeated this. There's four gospels, four stories about Jesus. He repeated, it's recorded three times. The greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, your might, your strength. Come on. And you shall love others as yourself. That's a big deal. Jesus was quoting this. Okay, he was quoting the Old Testament. It's one book split up into two, what we call testaments, but it's all very intricately connected. So cool. Okay? And then verse 7 here, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be frontless between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Okay, so Jesus refers to the Shema, the first part, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? And then he says, okay, for your kids, okay, you should talk to them all the time. Everywhere you go, you should not talk at them, but talk with them. Some parents need to write that down. Talk with them, don't talk at them. Come on, I bet you if some of us could just go back to our childhood, how many of y'all just really enjoy being talked at? No, nobody likes that, right? But talked with is a different story, right? So talk with them here, okay? So this is what I want you to do. I want you to give up trying to be a nice, good Christian family. Somebody say, help him, Lord. I think he lost his mind. Come on. No, I want you to give up just trying to be a good, average Christian. I want to ask you what kind of Christian you are, because if you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and all your strength, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of Christians are we? Because I don't know if you know this or not, this word Christian gets thrown around a lot. Okay, so there's three types of Christians here. Let's look at them. Because if we're gonna care about generations, you got to ask yourself this question. Are you a cultural Christian? That means cultural means you're not Muslim. You're not Jewish. You don't murder people, and you pay most of your taxes. Most of them. Right? So therefore, you must be a Christian. You go to church maybe 2 times a year, Easter, Christmas, child dedication, Mother's Day. That's cultural. I'm just kind of maintaining the status quo. Are you with me? Now we have these things called congregational Christians. We show up. So the cultural Christian, they show up a couple times a year. Congregational, once every month or so, we get around to it, kind of hang out. We know that at Thanksgiving, we should be thankful. So we show up for dinner with something to be thankful for. That's congregational. In part, kind of show up maybe 1 out of every 4, 2 out of every 5. That's the average person that calls himself a Christian now in our culture. That's how much they show up. Think about that. So your congregation, you're kind of a part of a congregation. You know enough people there that they annoy you. But you can make a choice whether you want to go or not. Is that a good definition? Okay, now let's move on to this last one here. Come on. Christ-centered Christians. Christ-centered Christians are the ones that love God with all their might and their soul and their strength. And they love him, and we just love Jesus. And Jesus isn't an option. He's not an add-on in my life. He is my life. I'm a part of a local church. Why? Because I'm better when I'm a part of their lives, and somehow I add something that Jesus wants. So you have to ask yourself, are you a cultural Christian, a congregational Christian, or a Christ-centered Christian? Somebody that doesn't just have an add-on. Somebody that's not just trying to like get by here. I have faith in him. We love him with our whole heart here. So let me ask you a question. So I'm just going to talk to parents right now. So I'm going to talk to you about you. Are you good? I'm going to talk to the adults in the room about you. How many of you are adults? Come on, there we go. Psalm 92, people who are planted in the house of the Lord, they flourish. Man, I want to flourish. I want to grow. I want joy. I want peace. I'm kind of greedy like that. I want peace, love, and joy in everything Jesus has. Come on, somebody. Come on, isn't that what we signed up for? I did not sign up for the prune juice revival. Come on, I did not do that. I did not sign up for misery. I signed up to find Jesus Christ and what this word really says and how it applies to my life so I can please him with my life. Okay, so I'm gonna be planted. So are you planted? But let me ask you a question, and this goes for everybody in the room, whether you have kids or not. What's optional for your family? What's optional for your family? What is optional? What is really optional for you and your family? Is going to school optional for your kids? No, right? Somebody will come and find you. I mean, you got to do some type of school, right? How about going to the dentist? Is that optional for your kids? Don't be the parents like, oh, do you want to go to the dentist? No, you go to the dentist. Come on, like, you know, it's like, no, see, we there's these options that we have. How about doing homework? Your parents have to. Is homework optional for your kids? No, they got to do it, right? So there's things in life that aren't options here. How about, then we move into dance recitals, music lessons, sports, all this other stuff. Is that optional? Is that a right? I mean, is it optional or is it mandatory? Oh, just a thought. Okay, got quiet. How about serving? How about things like this? See, we got to determine as parents and even as we challenge one another, what's optional and what's really needed. We got to determine what's needs and what's wants. You know, somebody, here, hand me that Christmas tree. I'm seeing it here. How many of y'all know that these are delicious? These little Christmas trees, they're filled with goodness. If I preach good today, I get this. Come on. And maybe we'll vote at the end. I don't know. You better vote for me, you know. And somebody said earlier, do you want one of these? And I said, no, I want 6 of them. I said, don't ask me a stupid question. I'll start with 6 and we'll move up from there. Come on, you know. What I want is this, but I said, but I don't need that. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Then why are you holding it? It's making for a good illustration. Come on. How many of y'all you looked at this and you want it now? Come on, yeah. Yeah. Okay, but there's a difference between needs and wants.
There's a difference between what's optional and what's mandatory, and you as a parent have to choose. There's the way of the culture. There's the way of living for Christ. And when you meet Jesus in a really real way, whether you met him at 15, 25, 45, 55, or up, it doesn't matter. There's a new way we think about things. And that's what he came to help us with. But I want to tell you this. Amazon Prime is the new God of our age. And it's affecting all of us. Come on. I want it now. I can order something sometimes in the afternoon. And when I wake up in the morning, it's there. And what we're doing is we're raising up a generation of kids that we're training them that God's like Amazon. And that when he doesn't come through, I'm just going to go with Amazon Prime. Because with God, you got to go to church. You have to pay extra. Amazon Prime is free. Come on. Free delivery. Take two. And Amazon is crushing our concept of God. It's creeping into our minds that God should be like Amazon. He should give me whatever I want, however I want it, and I want it now. And if it takes too long, God, am I right or wrong? It's creeping into our lives here. So what are you demonstrating to your kids about the importance of church? Maybe it's we're busy. Busy. I'm busy. Can't stand that word. I'm not busy. I'm fruitful. I'm productive. I'm effective. That's what my life is going to be. I'm not going to run around all my life going busy. When people come to me all the time and say, Pastor, we know you're busy. I say, do I look that bad? No, I don't. Do I look that bad? Don't answer that when I say that. Come on. No, but we have values. We're training. Oh, the weather's too good. We need to miss church. And then, the weather's too bad. We miss church. Where's baby bear's weather? Come on. Just right. Are you with me? Come on. Is this helping you here? It's camp. We're going to camp. Going to camp. Going to camp. From now, from Memorial Day to Labor Day, we're going to camp. Listen, I don't know. Maybe you're a camp person. Listen, camp is good, but is it the value of your life? That's what I'm asking. See, what's the value of your life? What do you value, and what is being passed on to your kids and your grandkids and the other kids in this church? Because when you're a part of a church that's flourishing, we lead the generation. That's what Pastor Ben did today. He looked at all of us and said, are you going to do your part? Most of you said we will. A couple of you mumbled it, but you didn't quite say it. Am I with you? How about, as an adult, are you working through conflict in a God-honoring way? Do our kids see you working through conflict in a God-honoring way? Do your kids see you being humble, being forgiving? Do they see you cussing the person that pulls in front of you? I know I'm meddling. I'm sorry. No, I'm being honest. But what do they see? What do our grandkids see? Do they see us being consistent? Do they see us being this way here? They see us being full of love, joy, and peace beyond our circumstances. Just recently, our son, in his upper 20s, gave me one of the best compliments. I didn't ask him for it. We were just talking. He was in from out of town because he lives out of town. He said, Dad, one of the things I've always noticed about you, no matter what you're going through, you've always been the same person. You've been consistent. I said, man, that's worth $1 million right there. And he said, Dad, how did you do it? Because, man, he got two kids now. He's saying all these things are happening. Life changes. He said, how do I live that way? And I said, man, I wish I had a formula for you, but I don't. I just have this thing inside of me that, God, I'm going to live for him and live for Jesus Christ, and I'm going to trust him above everything else. See, so what I'm trying to tell you right now in the Shema is all about you loving God and him having a practical reality. Because you got to decide, this is it. Let me just sum it up like this. You got to decide what you want your kids to be and become that person. Write down what you want your kids to be and become that person. Because why would you ask them to be something you're not?
No, seriously, and the kids of the church, normally here, I guess every other week or so, they sit all up front, there's kids, and they're cheering, they're yelling. I want to go sit with them. They're having fun. You know, really, and I just, I don't want them to see me stand in here when it comes time to worship God like this. Is it a show? No, I love God, and I'm going to worship him. I'm going to honor him. And every kid around me, I want them to know that Jesus is much more important than the Steelers score. That's what I want to model. And how do we give? Are you a tither? Are you giving 10%? No, seriously, because that's a sign of faith. So if we want to pass on faith to our kids, then we should be tithing. There should be a 10% that start at 10% and move up. Why? Because that's faith. I want my kids and our grandkids to have faith. I want to give towards that. Are you with me? So serving. Do they see me serving or they see me being selfish here? You see, we want Olympic level results with T-ball preparation. We want them to be Olympic stars, but we're doing T-ball prep with them. What did Jesus say in Mark chapter 7, verse 6? He said, "You hypocrites, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are far from me." Let's not be those people. Are you with me? Okay, now I'm going to shift gears to the kids now. Somebody say, "Thank you, Jesus." Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Here we go. Okay, so what do you do with those kids? Come on, what do you do with those kids? This is what you do. You talk with them. And Deuteronomy said there's times you talk to them at dinner time, drive time, right? When they wake up time, when they go to bed time, you talk to them. Everything's an exchange. So every time you're with your kids, let's talk to them. Drive time, daytime, dinner time, downtime. All the times, let's talk with them. Let's communicate with them. How many kids, if you don't have kids here in this church and you're regularly apart, how many kids do you know their name? How many kids do you know their name? That you could stop and say, "Hey, I'm so glad you're here today." I can tell you who had the most impact in church on our kids. He's gone home to be with the Lord. Chuck. He was a part of our church since it started 43 years ago. And every Sunday that we walked in church, he would stop and talk to every one of our kids. And he would know if they were in baseball or what they were doing in school. He would just stop every single time. He would stop him and talk to him like that. Chuck had an impact on my kids. He never did Sunday school. He never did those things, but he served in the church all the time. Served, up and through his 90s was serving, doing food bank. So this is my word of the Lord for you. Thus saith the Lord thy God, put thy phone down and play a game. Phones are killing us. I'm telling you, there's going to be people that are going to need finger replacements from all the scrolling. No, I'm telling you, phones. You put your phone down. Put it down. Turn Netflix off. Play a game. No, I'm serious. Play a game. Let's teach. Let's train. Let's put them down. Stop handing kids phones. I know you're saying, "Oh, Pastor Rick, you sound so old." It's obvious. Come on. But am I right or wrong? We're always handing them something. And then we're giving kids here's everything you never wanted to look at in your life. Go ahead and have a look. And then we wonder why they're looking at everything crazy. They're like kids these days. No, you gave it to them. Yes. You handed it to them. Yes. No, you hand them this and you hand them this and you're crushing their brain cells and you're calling it like, "I just want them quiet." No, I'll get to that in a little bit. I'm begging you. Phones, even in young kids, even in babies right now, statistic after statistic, when you read books and you read the stats, kids are suffering because moms, young moms, are on their phones so much, there's no FaceTime anymore, even with their own babies. Statistically. No, I'm serious. You should have times in your house that there's no phone time. I mean, I would say, okay, from in the evening, from 5 till 9, no phone time.
No computer time. Well, I mean, my goodness, I'd have to talk to my kids. Yeah. Turn the radio off in there. Okay. Okay, moving right along. Here it is. I'm trying to give you a concept. We risk too little, and we rescue too quick. I want you to take this in a little bit. Now, I'm going to talk to you like the guy who was barefoot, walked to school uphill both ways. I don't know. It happened just recently. I said, I'm at the age. That's true. So I'm going to talk to you like him right now. So if you're younger, I want you to listen to me. But everybody who's a little older like me, you're going to love this part. Okay, I'm just telling you right now. Okay, here we go. Saturdays. Saturdays, when in my house, when get out of the house. How many of y'all remember get out of the house? Leave the house. Go play. If my dad caught us watching cartoons, it was like we were worshiping the Antichrist. I'm telling you that right now. And I'm just saying, get out of the house. Go play. And these were the rules. These are the rules if you go play. Don't die. You're not allowed to die. You could be bloody, but don't come home until later, till dinner time. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. Are you with me? Yeah. Okay, some of you got it, right? Yeah. Now, this is the other one I learned at a young age. If somebody hits you, hit them back. I thought that was a wonderful rule. Come on. And then the other last one, here it is. If you leave the house, if you have a problem with somebody, go work it out. There was no such thing as mom and dad rescuing you. This is fun. How many of y'all remember back when it was allowed you could drink out of the garden hose? How many of y'all were drinking out of the garden? Come on. Yeah, water bottles are a scam. They are a scam, I'm telling you. Y'all getting beat bad. I'm just telling you right now. I'm just telling you. But how many of y'all know? How many of you know the garden hose ain't going to kill you? You know what I'm going to do with all 12 grandkids? They're going to drink out of that hose. Come on, somebody. Yes, come on. No, I want you to think about this. No, I'm going after something. I remember delivering papers at 8 years old. I left the house, went to the store, waited until the papers got delivered, loaded up with papers both sides, and went door to door. At 8 years old, I'd be gone for 2 hours. My mom and dad never wondered where I was. I was like, he'll come back. Right? I mean, how many of y'all really? Come on, where's your, thank you. I see those hands. Thank you very much. Okay. How many of y'all remember after your Little League game, only if you won, by the way, you got ice cream. And you all jumped in the back of a pickup truck. No, yeah. You just jumped in the back of that truck like, yeah. But if you didn't win, you ain't getting no ice cream. I'm telling you that right now. Come on. I remember getting a skateboard. I remember I got a skateboard. I didn't get knee pads, gloves, or a helmet. I remember my hands were so blistered and so beat up from falling off that skateboard. I remember going to my dad's garage and getting old leather gloves. His old big, too big for me. But I was going to wear those gloves. And then when he went looking for those gloves, I had to make sure they were back there. Come on, somebody. Okay. Oh, Lord. And then car seats. Natalie says, get the car seats in the car. I start praying in spirit right there. I start praying in spirit. I look at these car seats. How many of y'all, I got to watch YouTube. How many know the kids always say, no, don't do it right. They're not right. God forbid if you take a picture of them in the car seat and the thing ain't in the right place, you get in trouble. Anybody with me? Okay. Because you didn't have seatbelts. You had mama. Right? Mama loves you way more than a seatbelt. Come on, somebody. And then you had grandmama. Grandmama had... That's where airbags came in. Come on, somebody. Okay, moving along. Okay.
Okay, here's the point. Let me make a point. Okay. I'm going over here. Now listen. This is my point. We have risk avoidance and pain avoidance. Is it really producing what we want in the next generation? There was no such thing as risk avoidance or pain avoidance. Now, I know I'm old school. I get that. But the Gen Z, the generation just coming up through right now, they're the most fearful, tormented generation of all time. I'm challenging even the way we did it. I'm challenging myself today. I'm not challenging you, I'm challenging me. And what do I really believe about all this stuff here? We rescue too quickly. We have parents doing homework for their kids. We have parents making that volcano thing. How many of y'all made a volcano at least once in your life for your kids? Come on, yeah. Yeah. It's not working. No, I'm serious. We're rescuing too quickly. Because if our goal is rains are going to come, floods are going to come, and we are going to get, and we're going to have a foundation that stands, I'm challenging all of us to have a biblical perspective of what God wants of us. Because most parents, what do you want for your kids? I want them to have it better off than we did. What was so bad about the way you were raised? I remember going through times, and both of our fathers were steel workers. I remember strikes. I remember times dad being laid off. I remember times that were lean, but you know what? They were the best times. I wouldn't trade one of those times for anything. So let's not just try to give our kids everything. Let's give them what they really need, not what they want. Because actions have consequences. Actions have consequences. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Sowing and reaping teaches us the fear of God. In Luke 15, you can write down the prodigal son. The dad gave him everything. He went out, and the dad waited patiently for him to come back. When he came back, he loved him. He welcomed him, but he never rescued him. He never rescued him. I remember our one son just loved to sleep in and miss school or miss the bus. So he learned to walk to school. Surely he will not die. No, I'm being honest. Like, parents, stop counting. Please, for the love of God, stop. You come here. I'm going to count to five. One, two, three and a half, three and three quarters, four. I hear people counting in the supermarket, and I start hyperventilating. Now, there is a time to count. When you need to separate from anger, I'm not counting for you, I'm counting for me. There's a time to count. Never in anger, never in mean. Are you with me? Come on. I need to count for me. No, I'm gonna go over here and count. We don't put your kids in timeout, put yourself in timeout until you get control of yourself. Because if you can't do it in love and do it the right way, then get control of yourself and come back. We can't force our kids to love God, but we can't expose them to experiences and people. We can't expose them to people, experiences that will increase the likelihood of their growth. Okay. Let's expose our kids to life-giving things, to adults that love God with all their hearts and their mights and their souls. Are you with me? And then let's train them and teach them and talk with them, because there's no formula. We're just all in this together, trying to figure it out. That's why Natalie and I are doing a parenting group right now. We're still trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure out how to be good grandparents, how to be parents of big kids. How many of you know they're always your kids? And all they do is get more expensive. Anybody with me? Hey, let's stand to your feet with me. Is this helpful to you today? See, what's the point of parents? Come on. What's the point of parenting? Did I earn this today? Do I get my pay? What's the point of parenting? To raise up resilient kids. Ones who can hold up to the culture. And
ones who can live in the midst of stress and all the pain of life. Does it make sense now? See, if this is your goal, this changes everything. And to the parents here today, I'm trying to tell you this is the point. Resiliency with God works. Heavenly Father, I pray over every person here today. Lord God, I thank you so much for this great group of people who love you and serve you and just want to please you. And just we're just here for you, God. It's so cool, so good. So God, would you help us be a church that represents you? Would you help us be a church that really values a generation and lives out Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9? Help me, God, be a person who loves you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And help me have a positive impact on the kids of the next generation. So right now in this attitude of prayer, in this attitude where our heads are bowed, I want to ask you a question. Do you love God with all your heart, might, soul, and strength? I want to ask you a question. Have you ever met Jesus, the real Jesus, the one who died on the cross for you, paid for your sin? If you don't have a day, a moment, or time when you became a follower of Jesus Christ and you asked him to forgive you of your sin and lead you into your future, you came to the right place because that's the purpose and that's why God put us on this planet, to help people know about God and meet Jesus in a really real way. But if you never had that happen, maybe today is your day. Today is your day to say, Jesus, forgive me of my past because of the cross of Jesus Christ and lead me into my future. If that's you today, you've never done that before, but you want to be a follower of Jesus based on what Jesus Christ did on the cross, not your goodness. You want to go from cultural Christian to a Christ-centered Christian. If that's you today and you've never done that before, just do me a favor. Just slip up your hand. I'm going to pray for you right where you're at. Anybody in the house today?